A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been thinking about the badges we scroll past on company websites. The little certification seals that sit in the footer next to the copyright line. He says he's a huge fan of ISO standards, especially the ones that quietly hold the world together. Currency codes, country identifiers. He once spent real time untangling data where different people had spelled the same geographic region 6 different ways, and the ISO standard was the thing that gave him a clean point of reference. But then he points out that those standards live in the background. Nobody thinks about them. The ISO badge on a business website is a different thing. That's a standard you encounter explicitly. And the most famous one, the one he wants to talk about, is ISO 901. His understanding is that it defines efficiency in business operations, broadly speaking. He's asking 3 things. Is that understanding actually correct? What does the standard set a yardstick for? And what does an organization have to do to pass through it?
The efficiency thing is the part most people get wrong. And I understand why. The badge looks like a stamp of approval, like the company has been checked and found to be well run. But ISO 9001 doesn't measure efficiency at all. It doesn't measure output per input, doesn't measure cost reduction, doesn't measure whether the company is fast or lean or profitable. It measures something more specific and, honestly, stranger.
Stranger how?
It certifies that you have a documented quality management system, a QMS. That's the actual scope. The standard sets requirements for the management system itself. The processes, the documentation, the review cycles, not for the product or service that comes out the other end. A company making defective widgets can be ISO 9001 certified. A company making beautiful widgets with no paperwork cannot.
So it's a paperwork standard.
That's the common criticism, and it's not entirely unfair. But the paperwork is meant to be a proxy for something. The theory is that if you've documented your processes, and you follow them, and you review them regularly, and you fix things when they drift, then quality becomes repeatable. Not guaranteed, but repeatable. The standard is betting that a controlled process beats an uncontrolled one over time.
And how many organizations have actually bought into that bet?
Over 1 million. Certificates held across roughly 180 countries. It's the most widely recognized management standard in the world. The current version is ISO 901 from 2015, which rewrote a lot of the older framework. The 2015 revision is where things get interesting, because it shifted away from prescriptive procedures. The old version told you to have a quality manual and a bunch of specific documents, and moved towards something called risk-based thinking.
Which sounds like a consulting firm got hold of the language.
It does, but the idea is actually coherent. The standard is built on the plan, do, check, act cycle, which goes back to Deming. Plan your processes, do them, check whether they worked, act on what you find. The 2015 version took the old separate clause about preventative action, which was always a bit awkward, and wove risk assessment throughout the whole framework instead. So instead of saying, here's a procedure for preventing problems, it says, at every stage, you should be asking what could go wrong and how you'd handle it.
So the standard got more philosophical.
More flexible, at least. And that's the thing Daniel might appreciate, given his background in the other ISO standards. The standard is deliberately process agnostic. It doesn't tell a hospital how to do surgery and a software firm how to write code. It says, whatever your work is, you need to have defined how you do it, and you need to be able to show that you follow your own definition. That's why one framework can certify a widget factory, a hospital, and a software company. It's not measuring the work, it's measuring whether you've thought about the work.
Let's get into the actual text of the standard and what it demands. What are the 7 clauses?
The 2015 version has 7 main sections. Context of the organization. That's where you define who you are, what you do, who your stakeholders are, and what internal and external factors affect your ability to deliver. Leadership. Top management has to actually engage with the quality system, not just sign off on it. Planning. That's where the risk-based thinking lives, identifying risks and opportunities and planning how to address them. Support. Resources, competence, awareness, communication, documented information. Operation. The actual production or service delivery processes. Performance evaluation, monitoring, measurement, internal audit, management review, and improvement. Nonconformity, corrective action, continual improvement.
Continue with an AL.
Continual, not continuous. The standard makes a point of that. Continuous means never stopping. Continual means recurring, with gaps. The standard recognizes that improvement happens in cycles, not as an unbroken stream. It's a small thing, but it tells you something about how carefully the language is chosen.
And the documentation burden. What does a quality management system actually look like on the ground?
In practice, you've got a quality manual that describes the system as a whole. You've got procedure documents for each key process. You've got records, records of corrective actions, records of internal audits, records of management reviews, records of training. The old joke is that ISO 9001 doesn't ask whether you're doing good work. It asks whether you wrote down what you did and then did what you wrote down. The documentation is the evidence. Without records, the process didn't happen as far as the auditor is concerned.
So a manufacturer with a documented defect handling procedure, if they follow it and review it, they're in compliance, even if their defect rate is terrible.
The standard never says your defect rate has to be below a certain threshold. It says you have to have a procedure for handling defects. You have to follow it. You have to record what happened, and you have to review whether the procedure is working. If your defect rate is 30%, but you're documenting it and working through your own process, you can be certified. If your defect rate is 0.1%, but you have no documentation, you can't.
That's the gap between what people assume the badge means and what it actually vouches for.
And it's a real gap. The badge says this organization has a functioning quality management system. It doesn't say this organization makes good products. It doesn't even say this organization is well run in any general sense. It says the organization has defined its processes and can demonstrate that it follows them and reviews them. That's a meaningful thing, but it's much narrower than the public perception.
And is efficiency anywhere in that?
No. The word efficiency doesn't appear in the standard's requirements. You could have a wildly inefficient process, massive waste, redundant steps, slow turnaround, and as long as it's documented, followed, and reviewed, you're compliant. The standard is about control and consistency, not speed or cost. Daniel's understanding that ISO 9001 defines efficiency in business operations is probably the single most common misconception about the standard. It's understandable. The badge looks like a seal of operational excellence. But the yardstick is process control, not output quality or efficiency.
So if the standard doesn't prescribe how to run the business, what's the actual mechanism? What does a company have to do to get certified?
This is where the rubber meets the road. An organization can't certify itself. It has to hire an accredited third-party certification body, a registrar, and go through a formal audit process. And the audit has two stages.
Stage one being what?
Stage 1 is a readiness review. The auditor looks at your documentation, your quality manual, your procedures, your records, and assesses whether your system, on paper, meets the standard's requirements. They'll identify gaps, areas where your documentation doesn't cover what the standard asks for. You fix those gaps, and then you move to Stage 2.
And Stage 2 is the on-site visit.
Stage 2 is where the auditor comes to your facility and verifies that what your documentation says is actually what happens on the ground. They'll interview employees, watch processes, check records against reality. The theory is that Stage 1 checks whether your system looks right on paper, and Stage 2 checks whether it's real. The auditor is looking for evidence that you do what you say you do.
And certification isn't a one-time event.
No. Most certificates require annual surveillance audits, smaller visits that check you're still maintaining the system, and full recertification every 3 years. The 3-year cycle is the standard rhythm, so it's not a one-and-done badge. It's an ongoing relationship with the certification body. You're paying for audits every year, and the auditor has the power to suspend or withdraw your certificate if they find major nonconformities.
So the certification body has a financial incentive to keep you certified.
That's the uncomfortable part. The certification body is a business. They charge for the initial audit and for the annual surveillance visits. If they fail too many clients, those clients might go find a more lenient registrar. There's a structural tension there. The auditor is supposed to be independent and rigorous, but their employer's revenue depends on keeping clients happy. It's not that the system is corrupt. Most auditors I've known are genuinely trying to do their jobs, but the incentive structure is worth noticing.
And how long does the whole process take?
Implementation typically takes 6 to 18 months, depending on the size and complexity of the organization. You need dedicated quality staff. Someone has to own the QMS, and the documentation build-out is substantial. The audit itself is a significant organizational event. People get nervous. There's a whole industry of consultants who help companies prepare for certification, and another industry of training providers who teach people how to audit.
So it's an ecosystem.
A whole ecosystem. Consultants, registrars, auditors, training bodies, accreditation bodies that oversee the registrars. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry built around the standard, and that's part of why it persists. Once you're in the ecosystem, it's hard to leave.
Why do organizations pursue it at all, then? If it doesn't guarantee quality and it's expensive and it creates this ongoing obligation.
Three main reasons. Supply chain requirements. A lot of large buyers mandate that their suppliers be ISO 901 certified. If you're a small manufacturer selling to a big automotive company, they'll tell you, get certified or lose the contract. Market signaling. The badge is a shorthand, for this company has its act together, even if the reality is more complicated. And the genuine discipline, for a chaotic operation, the forced documentation can actually help. You have to define what you do, and that process of definition can reveal problems you didn't know you had.
That last one is real. There's something about being forced to write down your process that makes you actually look at it.
And that's the thing the critics miss. The standard is easy to mock. It's a paperwork standard. It certifies documentation, not quality. A company with terrible products can pass. All true. But the act of documenting your processes and then being audited against your own documentation does create a kind of organizational self-awareness that many companies lack. You can't drift when you've committed to a written procedure and someone comes once a year to check that you're following it.
But the criticism still lands, doesn't it? The badge on the website says quality, and the standard says process control. There's a gap between what the badge implies and what it actually vouches for.
The gap is real, and it's the central tension of the whole thing. ISO 9001 is the most famous quality standard in the world, and it doesn't actually measure quality. It measures whether you have a system that might lead to quality. The standard is betting on process. The public thinks it's betting on outcomes.
And the 2015 revision, the risk-based thinking, does that close the gap at all?
It tries to. The shift from prescriptive procedures to risk-based thinking was meant to make the standard more about actual outcomes and less about checking boxes. Instead of saying you must have a preventive action procedure, it says you must identify your risks and plan for them. That's a more sophisticated framework. But it's also more subjective. An auditor has to judge whether your risk assessment is adequate and that judgment is harder to standardize than checking whether a document exists.
So, the revision made the standard more flexible and harder to audit consistently.
That's the trade-off. The old version was more prescriptive but easier to verify. The new version is more adaptive but depends more on auditor judgment. Some people think that's progress. Others think it made the standard vaguer.
What's the case study that illustrates the whole thing best?
The Fastener Company. Imagine a manufacturer that makes bolts. They have a documented procedure for handling defects. When a defect is found, it gets logged. The batch gets quarantined, the root cause gets investigated, corrective action gets taken, and the whole thing gets recorded. They follow that procedure religiously. Their defect rate is high, say 8%, but every defect goes through the system. They're reviewing the procedure quarterly, they're making small improvements, they're documenting everything. That company is ISO 9001 compliant. A competitor makes bolts with a defect rate of 0.5% but has no formal quality system. That company can't be certified. The standard doesn't care about the 8%. It cares about the procedure.
And that's the whole argument in one example.
It is. The standard is process agnostic and outcome blind. That's not a bug in the standard's own terms, it's the design. But it's a real limitation when the badge is presented to the public as a mark of quality.
Let's talk about the supply chain dynamic, because that's where the standard has real teeth. A large manufacturer tells its 200 suppliers they must be certified or lose the contract.
That's the enforcement mechanism that actually drives adoption. It's not that companies wake up one day and decide they want a quality management system, it's that their biggest customer makes certification a condition of doing business. The standard cascades down the supply chain. Big buyer certifies, then demands its suppliers certify, then those suppliers demand their suppliers certify. The badge becomes a ticket to play.
And once it's a ticket to play, the certification becomes a compliance exercise rather than a genuine quality improvement.
That's the risk. When certification is mandatory, the goal shifts from building a good quality system to passing the audit. Companies hire consultants who write procedures they never actually follow. They create documentation that exists only to satisfy the auditor. The audit becomes a performance, and the auditor, if they're not careful, becomes an audience.
That's the dark side of the whole thing.
It's a real phenomenon. The criticism that ISO 9001 rewards documentation over outcomes is grounded in actual experience. There are certified companies with beautiful quality manuals and terrible products. There are certified companies where the production floor is a mess and the paperwork is immaculate. The standard, as written, can't distinguish between a genuine quality culture and a well-produced facade.
What would a meaningful quality certification look like? If the standard certifies process rather than outcome, what's the alternative?
That's the open question. You could imagine a standard that actually measures outcomes, defect rates, customer satisfaction, on-time delivery. But those are harder to audit. A process audit can be done by reviewing documents and observing. An outcome audit requires data analysis, benchmarking, and judgment about what good looks like in a specific industry. The reason ISO 9001 is process-based is that process is auditable. Outcomes are messier.
The standard optimizes for auditability.
That's the deepest insight about ISO 9001. It measures what can be measured consistently across industries and countries. Process documentation is auditable. Quality is not. So the standard settles for the auditable proxy and leaves the real thing to the market.
The market keeps buying the badge anyway.
Because the badge is better than nothing. It's a signal, imperfect but informative. A company that's gone through the trouble and expense of certification is at least organized enough to have defined its processes. That's not nothing. It's just less than the badge implies.
Where does that leave the badge on the website?
A 3-ring binder, Office Depot. $11.99.
Hilbert.
I audited for a regional certification body in the late 90s. 2 years. Small manufacturers, mostly. My job was to check their documentation against the standard. The binder was the whole thing. Every company had a binder. Some had 6.
The quality manual.
The quality manual, the procedures, the records. All in binders. And the funny thing was, the companies with the neatest binders were usually the worst run. You'd walk in, and the binders were color-coded, tabbed, everything in plastic sleeves. And the production floor was a disaster. They'd hired a consultant to write the procedures, and nobody on the floor had ever read them. The audit was checking whether the binder matched the standard. It always did. That's what they paid the consultant for.
The audit was a performance.
It was theater. We'd sit in a conference room, go through the binder page by page, check off the clauses. Then we'd do a walkthrough of the floor and pretend to verify that the procedures were being followed. But the walkthrough never found anything, because we didn't know what we were looking at. I audited a fastener company, bolts, screws, that kind of thing, and their binder was perfect. Every procedure documented, every record up to date. The production floor had extension cords running through puddles of cutting fluid. I signed off on them.
The fire hazard.
The paperwork said they did monthly safety inspections. There was a log, signed. The log was fiction, but I wasn't there to check the extension cords. I was there to check the log.
Did you know the procedures were fiction?
I knew. The plant manager told me. He said, look, we got the binder because our biggest customer said we had to. Nobody here uses it. But you're not going to fail us, because then my boss calls your boss and your boss loses the account. And he was right. My employer's revenue depended on passing companies. If we failed too many, they'd find another registrar. So we passed them.
That's the perverse incentive built into the whole system. The auditor is supposed to be independent, but the auditor's employer gets paid by the company being audited. The standard assumes a level of integrity that the economics don't always support.
I signed off on 43 companies in 2 years. Maybe a dozen of them actually used their quality system. The rest had a binder and a consultant on retainer.
The badge was certifying the binder.
The badge was certifying that someone had been paid to produce a binder, and that someone else had been paid to check the binder against a checklist. The company on the floor, the actual work, that was never really part of it.
That's the gap between the standard's intent and its implementation. The standard assumes good faith. It assumes the organization wants a functioning quality management system. When the certification is just a market requirement, the good faith evaporates and the audit becomes a ritual.
The ritual still costs real money.
$6,000 to $10,000 for the initial audit back then. More now. Plus the consultant. Plus the surveillance visits. A small manufacturer could spend $30,000 to $40,000 a year on the whole apparatus for a binder nobody uses.
The market keeps requiring it because the badge is the only signal available. Buyers can't audit every supplier themselves, so they outsource the audit to a certification body and hope for the best. The whole system runs on trust in a process that, as Hilbert just described, is routinely gamed.
The trust is the problem. The standard is fine. The standard says what it says, but the standard assumes that the auditor is honest and the company is honest. When either one isn't, the whole thing collapses into paperwork.
You were the auditor.
I was 24. I needed the job. The registrar needed the revenue. The company needed the certificate. Nobody in the room had an incentive to tell the truth. So we all agreed to pretend the binder was real.
That's the uncomfortable takeaway. The standard certifies process, not outcome. But even the process certification is only as honest as the audit, and the audit has its own economics.
I still have one of the binders, from the fastener company. They gave me a copy. It's in a box somewhere.
The question Daniel asked, what does the standard set a yardstick for, has a layered answer. On paper, it sets a yardstick for process control. In practice, it sets a yardstick for documentation. And in the worst cases, it sets a yardstick for how much money you're willing to spend on a consultant and a registrar.
The standard is a measure of organizational self-awareness, but only as honest as the people doing the measuring. That's the real finding. ISO 9001 isn't a quality standard. It's a standard for having thought about quality. And thought, unlike quality, can be faked.
Where does that leave the badge on the website? It means the company has been through a process. It means someone checked their paperwork. It means they spent real money. It doesn't mean their product is good, their operations are efficient, or their quality system is real. It means they have a binder.
Or a digital equivalent of a binder. The form has changed, but the substance is the same. The badge is a signal, and like most signals, it's imperfect. The interesting question Daniel's prompt raises is whether we could design something better. A certification that actually measures outcomes. A standard for quality that's as auditable as process documentation, but actually tracks whether the product works.
That's the open question. If the standard certifies process rather than outcome, what would a meaningful quality certification actually look like? Something that couldn't be satisfied by a binder and a consultant. Something that measured what the customer actually experiences. That's a harder standard to write and a harder one to audit. But it's the standard the badge pretends to be.
The badge makes a promise the standard doesn't keep. That's the whole story. Daniel asked whether ISO 9001 defines efficiency. It doesn't. It defines documentation. And the gap between those two things is where all the trouble lives.
Thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for producing. And for the binder.
This has been My Weird Prompts. If you want to reach us, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head,
send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird props, that's the close from sloth, from man, from long ear hose. My weird props, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.